Today we're excited to have Levon Filion with us. He is the AMAA West Coast Executive Director. He's going to be sharing the Word of God in English and Armenian with us. So Levon's going to be sharing from Joshua, the books of Joshua, Matthew, and Acts. So if you go ahead and open up your bulletin, the first reading is going to come from Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. And that's page 157 on the Pew Bible. So no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law, do not let this book of the law of Isaac and Jacob, when I said I will give it to your descendants, I will have you see it with your eyes, but you will not, well, I'm sorry, I read to the wrong place. Verse 8, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So now if you can turn to Matthew chapter 28, we're going to read verses 18 through 20. That's page 743 in the Pew Bible. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And then the last reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 7 and 9. That is on page 810 of the Pew Bible. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. So before Levon comes up, let's pray for him right now. Lord, thank you that your word is being spread. Thank you that you call us to make disciples of all nations. Thank you for the AMAA and for the work that they're doing and how they're living out those verses. And just pray today that you fill Levon with your spirit and that you speak through him. As we hear about all of your good work happening through the AMA, pray these things in your son's name. Amen.
Thank you. Is the mic on? The battery was just changed, so yes, you can hear me. Thank you. Just about 2 minutes ago, my friend in the back came and said, your battery is dead, and I better change it. And part of my message today is about having the power to speak. And think about it, if you have a pacemaker or if you have a mic and you're speaking in front of several people, and all of a sudden your battery is dead, you would sound like this. You can't hear me. So I praise God for that opportunity to witness to you. I want to thank God for his faithfulness. And when we sang the song, my God is an awesome God, think about it for a minute. Why would you call your God an awesome God? You don't have to raise your hand and answer it, but think about it. But one of the things that I think about is God is a loving and caring God. He loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son. God is a God of promise. He promised the Holy Spirit, and soon after he left, he sent the Holy Spirit. God is a God that says, I will walk with you every day. He said, I will never leave you alone. What an awesome God we have. And God promises us an eternal life if we obey the law and not veer from it to the right or to the left. My God is an awesome God. Can we all say it? My God is an awesome God. Amen. I want to bring you greetings from 24 countries where AMA serves. This Sunday, in many, many countries, in 24 countries, in an Armenian Christian church, we worship God. And we thank God for this great opportunity. When Dr. Jake was talking about all the restrictions that we have, we do have these restrictions in some of our churches, and we are under pressure and persecution for not being able to preach the gospel. So we praise God for his faithfulness, we praise God for his leadership, we praise God for his promise that he will never leave us alone. We read a few chapters, we read a few verses from the Old Testament and the New Testament, and I want to talk about the mandate and the courage to preach God's word. And as I was looking at the word mandate, it is given to a man, and it has given a date during which you have to perform it. So if you put it together, it becomes mandate. I don't know if that was started, that was the reason for a mandate, but it looks like it meant for that purpose. It was given to a man, and it was given a date during which time you have to perform this. So we look at Matthew, and Jesus is talking to his disciples. Think about it, it's the very last chapter, and practically all of the Gospels at the very end have two major issues that they address. One of them is, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he is still seeing that they are doubting. After spending 3 full years with them, day in, day out, eating, dining, sleeping with them, the disciples are still doubting. And then he says, I'm going to send you. My commission is, I want you to go and preach the gospel all around the world. Baptize them, teach them, guide them. So, as I look at this passage, I'm saying, is this a brand new thing, or is it from the Old Testament also? And I was led to look at the book of Joshua. And it's a unique situation. The leader is dead, Moses, and still the promise that has been given is not fulfilled. The new promised land that God had promised the forefathers. So God says to Joshua, be strong, be courageous, and I will give you the land that I promised you. And I will be with you if you obey my commands. And not veer to the right and not to the left, but keep the entire command, and I will bless you and you will prosper. It's an awesome statement. So I look at Joshua and I say, what were the few things that happened in the Old Testament during this transition period, and what happened in the New Testament between Jesus and the transition to the disciples? And I see a few parallel lines. One of the lines that I see is, if you read the Bible, you will see that Joshua was filled with the Spirit. It says Joshua was filled with the Spirit. That's the number one requirement. Unless you are filled with the Spirit, you cannot be a leader and you cannot preach God's word. The second thing that I noticed was the fact that when Joshua was given the chance to lead, he had demonstrated leadership. Remember when the 12 spies had gone? Only two of them came and said, yes, the problems are big, the problems are huge, but our God is bigger than those problems. So I will be able. So Joshua, because he was filled by the Spirit, was able to demonstrate that he trusts God. So trusting God is another factor to be courageous and to have the mandate and to have the guts to preach the gospel. The third one is the experience Joshua had. He was with Moses and he had eyewitnessed how Moses was successful when he trusted the Lord and when he obeyed the Lord. So now we come to the New Testament and we say, is there a transition period here? The disciples have been with Jesus for 3 years. They have witnessed everything, but they're still doubting. Why? Why are they doubting? Was it the promise that didn't appear to them? What happened? So we look at it and we say, okay, Jesus commissioned us, and now Luke, who's a medical doctor, he's very meticulous about how he explains things. He says, I wrote one of the books, Luke, and now I'm going to give you the second chapter. What's going to happen with the disciples? And he takes it over from the last chapters of the New Testament, the mandate, the commission, and he says, you need to do one thing. They were arguing, they were discussing, when is the kingdom coming? This was their main thing. They wanted the kingdom to happen when they were living, just like within 24 hours. And the command is, I want you to do nothing until you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Wait till you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and then you will become witnesses for me from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the outer parts of the world. So there's a mandate, there's a plan, and there is a timeline kind of thing, like first you do it here, then you do it there, then you do there. And it's very interesting how when he talks about it, when Luke writes about it, every chapter, and we'll go through that and see, every few chapters, one of the promises is happening and how God is leading them. You know, in all the philosophies, all the religions talk about cardinal values. Cardinal means the hinge on which the door opens and closes. So the four basic things that life relies on, people, philosophers, and religions talk about, one of them is wisdom. The second one is temperance. The third one is justice. And the fourth one is courage. So I want to talk about courage, the factor that leads us into being bold in preaching the gospel. Courage comes from the word cœur in French, which means heart. Having a strong heart to be able to be bold and say, this is the truth, and I will say it no matter what. I will not fear in preaching the gospel. The literal meaning of courage was saying whatever is in your heart, no matter what the consequences were. Think about it for a minute. How often are we in a position where we shy away from being a witness or a testimony that we are followers of Christ? We don't have that courage. And we don't have that courage because the Spirit has not filled our heart. So these are the things that I want to focus on. Courage is having been filled by the Spirit. Courage is eyewitnessing and hearing the reality. Joshua saw what Moses did when he followed God, and the New Testament talks about the disciples following Christ. Look at the book of Acts and see what it says. It says, you're going to be witnesses from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world. So the first six chapters, the preaching and the miracles are taking place in Jerusalem. Remember the mandate? First Jerusalem, That's exactly what's happening. The first chapters, they're going into, and who are the main disciples? Peter and John. And the Bible says they were filled with the Spirit, and that's why they were speaking in boldness. Here is the literal correlation. If you're not filled with the Spirit, you cannot be bold in preaching the gospel. If you're filled with the Spirit, you can preach the gospel with boldness. And they witnessed, here's the second part, and they witnessed what they had seen. People were saying, who are these people? Who are these disciples? They even haven't gone to school. They were fishermen. And then they answered themselves by saying, they have this courage because they witnessed and they lived with Christ. You see, during the 40 days after the resurrection, the disciples had a major change in their life. One of them was they witnessed the resurrection. Number two, they were promised the Holy Spirit and they were given the Holy Spirit. So with these two strong energies, they were able to move forward. So when people saw the boldness of unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, says the Bible. And as a result, in Acts 6:7, it says, the word of God increased and the disciples multiplied greatly. The word of God increased and the disciples multiplied greatly. Then we go to the second phase. The second phase is Acts 6-9, and this is where the disciples now, Philip and Stephen and Paul, are talking to Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. Remember? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, outer parts of the world. And again, as a result, it says, the church in Judea, Galilee, and Samaria grew in numbers. The church grew in numbers. Then we go to the other parts, to the Gentiles. Again, the book of Acts 9-12, it talks about going to Antioch, Peter and Barnabas. Then we establish the first church in Antioch. And then we go all the way to Paul's four journeys to outer parts of the world. The churches were established in faith and grew strongly, is what it says in chapter 16. I want to draw a parallel to this with the AMAA. The AMAA is a missionary organization. There is a mandate for the AMAA to do mission work. They did not see Jesus. They did not see Joshua. But you know who they saw? They saw American missionaries who came to historic Armenia, and they were filled with the Spirit, and they prayed together, and they worshiped together, and they opened schools, and they opened churches. So this was an eyewitness for them that those who love the Lord and those who can preach the gospel in a Muslim country with boldness and with courage are my guide. These are people that God had sent to teach us so we too can become witnesses. That's where the AMAA 100 years ago started, and started doing witnessing and preaching in historic Armenia, that was our Jerusalem, where the Armenians were, then to the Middle East, then to Europe, then the last 25 years, we talk about what we've been doing mostly in Armenia. I'm thankful to God that the AMAA was given the opportunity to open schools and prepare pastors and ministers for the Armenian evangelical churches all around the world. I'm grateful to God that God gave us the opportunity, specifically through the AMAA in the last 25 years, to open 1/4 of all the Armenian evangelical churches around the world. We have 122 churches around the world, and I would say about 35 of them were established and opened within the last 25 years. And this is not a man-made issue. This is a God leadership process. And I thank you for supporting the AMAA, for your prayers, for your hard work, for your trust in the organization, preaching the gospel with boldness. 30 schools, we preach the gospel with boldness. And we thank God for this opportunity. Let us wait upon the Lord. Let us ask Him to fill us with His Spirit. Let us obey the law and not walk to the right or to the left from it. And let's personalize the mandate, because we all are called to be witnesses and preach God's word. Սիրելիներ, այսօրվա պատկամը կուզեմ գարցևով հայրենի մեջ բարփակել. Աշակերտները վախի մեջ էին, հակառակ անոր, որ 3 երկար տարիներ Հիսուսի հետ ապրած էին. Եվ վախով ու թողով սենյակներում մեջ կբահվդեին. Բայց վերջին օրերուն, երբ Հիսուս համբարձում առավ, իրենց պատկամը տվավ. Ասավ, սպասեցեք Երուսաղեմի մեջ, և ես ձեզի Սուրբ Հոգին պիտի կրկեմ. Եվ երբ դուք Սուրբ Հոգիով գրեցվիք, ինձի համար վգաներ պիտի ըլլաք Երուսաղեմի մեջ, Հութայի մեջ, Սամարիայի մեջ և աշխարհի 4 կողմերը. Հին և նոր գդագարաններում մեջ ուղղությունները շատ հստակ են, թե մենք ինչպես գրնանք վգաներ ըլլալ և Հիսուսի խոսքը, Հիսուսի պատկամը, Հիսուսի սիրո մասին, Հիսուսի հարության մասին և մեր փրկության մասին խոսել ուրիշին. Ինչպես գրնանք? Գրնանք Հիսուսի օրենքը պահելով, Հիսուսի հնազանդելով, Սուրբ Հոգին խնդրելով, որ մեզ լեցնե, և ապրինք անոնց հետ, որ անոնք ալ հավատացյալ են, մեզի պես կհավատան, մեզի պես հավատք ունին, իրարու վեր վերցնելով։ Իմ պապակս այս է, որ մեր զորությունը մեր վրա չլա, մեր քաջությունը, որ ունինք մեր ունեցած ուժին իմաստության վրա չլա, այլ վստահինք Աստուծո ուժին, Աստուծո սիրույն, Աստուծո ուղության և Աստուծո օրենքին։ Մենք հաճախ գսենք, դեր իմ որոշումս այս է, այս ինչի կուզեմ ընել, օգնե ինձի, որ հաջողիմ։ Գարձես, թե գուզես տուն օտանավը քշել և իրեն ասել, որ տուն ուղությունները, երբ որ քեզի պետք ունենամ, ասե ինձի։ Բայց գարձես, թե քիչ մս սխալած ենք ադոր մեջ։ Արդյոք պետք է հարցնենք, դեր ինչ կուզես, որ ընեմ, թող քու կամքը դլա։ Գիտեք, հոգևոր գեղեցիկ երգեր ունենք այս նյութերում մասին։ Այսօր ավետարանչականը, հայ ավետարանչականը 24 երկիներում մեջ կծարա, և Աստծո փառք կտանք, որ ունեցած ենք հավատացյալներ, որոնք նախկին միշնարներու հետ ապրելով, դեսնելով, սորվելով, գրծած են սորվիլ, որ Սուրբ Հոգին մեջ զորություն կգտնեն, և այդ միջոցով կգնան իրենքալ Աստծո խոսքը քարոզել։ I would like to show a PowerPoint, and I would like to focus on the main part, which would be the churches. So I know I have about 10 minutes, and then there's communion. Thank you, Pastor Mike, Pastor Garo, and Paul, for helping in the worship service. So am I supposed to just push the buttons? All right, thank you. So before I say this, we've done 100 years of service as the AMAA with your help and with your prayer. And we embark into a new century. We need your prayers, we need your support, we need your cooperation. And thank you for this opportunity. And when Pastor Greg finishes his race, we'll give him another race to run. Of course, he's running that race. Amen? All right. So, faithful to our legacy and embracing the future. Oh, wait. Okay, what happened here? Okay. Okay, let me go back. Okay, here we go. Okay. 1846 is when the Armenian Evangelical Union was established, and soon thereafter, Okay. What happened here? Okay. In 1918, 100 years ago, the AMAA was established as an Armenian missionary organization within the family of the Armenian Evangelical Church. We serve in 24 countries, put down alphabetically, and we preach the gospel in 12 different languages. And think about the Bible where it says, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. We are part of that ministry. 12 different languages. Okay, Armenian Evangelical Churches worldwide, 120 churches and fellowships in Argentina, Armenia, Artsakh, Belgium, Lebanon, Russia, Syria, Uruguay, and the United States of America. I have given some samples of the churches, and I will focus on a few of them. Okay, these are the churches in Armenia and Artsakh. The two of them on top are Stepanavan and Stepanagerd. And the church down below is the church in Dilijan that was built just about 2 years ago. The other two were built some 20 years ago. Again, all these churches were built under the leadership of the AMAA and your support. The church that you see right here, Gyumri, was dedicated. Gyumri is the second largest city in Armenia, and this was dedicated about 3 weeks ago. And I'm sure you'll be seeing this in the AMA news. This is a church and a day center where God's word will be preached and children will get to know the Lord on a daily basis. Okay. Okay, Canada, we have a sample of three churches in Canada. Let's see, what did I do here? Okay, in Eurasia, we have several churches in Eurasia, and I just want to share with you that there are more Armenians in Eurasia than there are Armenians in Armenia. In Moscow alone, we have 1.2 million Armenians, in Moscow alone. In Russia alone, we have over 2 million Armenians. It's a great field, and we need to tap into that, and we need to preach the gospel as best as we can. If you take a look at the church on the very top, it's a garage that's in Akhalkalak, and the one on the right, top right, is a church in Moscow. We rent it, and the church down below on the right-hand side is in Tbilisi, Georgia. We had the opportunity to visit it. Walls cracked. When it snows 4 months a year, water drips, all kinds of a big mess, and we need to help them become a better church. In Europe, take a look at the top left. This is in Brussels. This church was literally a warehouse, and we fixed it and remodeled it. And this is where we preach the gospel in Turkish. An Armenian church, and we preach the gospel in Turkish to Armenians who don't know Armenian and who've come from the inner parts of Turkey. They've come to find employment, and we bring them together and we teach them about God's word. That was completed about 4 years ago. Well, the top left is where Bud Vidi Greg found his better half in Einjar. And I believe Bud Vidi Mike's father was a student in that church, in that school, and he learned about God's word. Give you a couple examples. The church on the right-hand side is the Bethel Church, which was bombed, and I will show you a couple pictures. We're trying to remodel and fix that church. A good number of our pastors have come from those churches. Okay. South America. The Union of South America just joined us about a year or so ago. We have three churches in Brazil, Uruguay, and Argentina. And we preach the gospel in Portuguese and Spanish in those two, three countries. United States, I don't see your church there, but you are in our prayers. Okay. The first one is the Martyrs Church. The Chicago church was built, I don't know, about 8, 9, 10 years ago, I forget now. And the Holy Trinity Church in North Hollywood was, again, purchased by the AMAA some 4 years ago. Education, I will go pretty fast on that. Let me go over the Haigazian University. Today, Haigazian has been the source of education for, I would say, about 80 to 90% of our leadership, Armenian evangelical leadership, in the United States and in the Middle East. So we are grateful for that. We have schools in Lebanon, Syria, Iran, and Greece. This is the Avedisian School that was built, completed about 3 years ago in Armenia. Kindergartens that were abandoned because of funding, and we were able to help them and teach them. Camps, the Shoah Education Day Center, let's see where we have. Haigazian University, let me go fast so I don't take too much of your time. Schools in Lebanon and Syria and Greece. Okay, Hade Yavram. Okay. The Merdinan School. Okay, summer camps. Let's go over the summer camps, because summer camps have been a great place for people to come to know the Lord. Literally, this has been a great, great ministry. Razmik, where are you? We thank Razmik for being the in charge of Camp Arab, and his wife is there? No, okay. Camp Kıçak is where I went, and I was a counselor for years. Okay, Las Sures, let me go back. I don't know, did I go too far? I'm not very good in this thing here. Okay. Camp Pedrosyan, of course, your church and family members from your congregation support this, and we are very grateful to them. It's probably the only Christian camp in Karabakh. In France, there are two camps. Let me go. Okay. Okay, this is in Lebanon. We went on that. Camp Arev. Look at the number of students there, and it was packed full, Razmik, right, this year? Yeah, thank you, Razmik, for your leadership. Okay, Camp Arev again. Camp Arevelk on the East Coast, and let's pray for Shant, the new youth group director on that side. Camp Arevelk again. We don't have a camp, and we pay mega bucks for 2 weeks. Razmik, do you know how much we pay? $25,000 for 1 week? $35,000. We pay $35,000 for 1 week to have our students have 1 week of Christian ministry. Just the rent, excluding the food and whatnot. So this is a ministry for you to think about and consider. Okay. Urem Yusuf. Okay. How many of you from this church, how many youth went to the International Conference, the All Armenian Evangelical Youth Conference. About 150 people attended, and this was a great blessing. Okay. Okay, humanitarian program, I will go through this very quickly. Okay. Could you push it from there for me, please? Thank you. The medical mission trip, you all know about it. The next one, please. Okay, adopt a granny. We take care of old ladies. Look at that beautiful Armenian smile there. Go to the next one. Okay, children's milk fund. This has been a huge success. We provide special milk for children who are allergic to their mother's milk, and this has become a huge blessing for us, ministering to the children, to the parents of these children. The next one. Children's sponsorship programs, the same. Go to the next one, please. Okay, Christmas joy programs, the boxes that you talked about. We have the same program that we do in Armenia. Next. Okay, next. Syria relief. Next. This is what happened to Aleppo. The average attendance in Aleppo, the average Armenian community, the range that people talk about is between 65 to 70,000. And today, the number of Armenians in Aleppo is 6,500 to 7,000. So 90% of them have left, gone to different places. Armenia, Lebanon, Canada, France, Spain, Sweden. And these all have become new areas for us to minister. This is the church that a rocket fell down, the roof was destroyed, and we're in the process of remodeling it on the right-hand side. Okay. Just go one back, please. Yeah, that was the banquet that we had October the 20th, celebrating the 100th anniversary. We had about 5 or 6 of them this year. And this was faithful to the legacy. And we praise God for all that He has done for us. The next one, please. Thank you, and God bless.
Paul, you coming? Would everyone stand, please? Can everyone hear me? Is this on a little bit? A little bit more? What about now? Can you hear me now? Nothing? It's on. It's on now. Is it on? What about now? Can you guys hear me? Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 3. Come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you will have no, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy milk and wine without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the riches of fare. Give ear and come.